Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, it is hump day, and it is a beautiful day here in mid-Michigan, first of all, a beautiful fall day, as, I mean, we're seeing clear skies, not a cloud in the sky at all, a beautiful blue sky, sunny day, all right, and highs are going to nip at the low 50s today, so if you can, at least get out and go for a walk, you know, throw on a hoodie or a Scully or something to keep you a bit warm, but enjoy this fall day, folks. And look, I'm excited and I am grateful that you are allowing Current Sports to be a part of your beautiful fall Wednesday, because we got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. It must be nice to be an LA sports fan, right? If you are an LA sports fan, you are in heaven right now. Sports heaven, because we all know, I mean, this year has been pretty wild. But you know, the year that has been the COVID-19 pandemic that has rocked our lives and really rocked the sports world as well. Well, it has been very kind to the LA sports fandom, the LA sports faithful, because not only did you guys win the NBA Finals earlier this month, LeBron James delivering that NBA title to the Los Angeles Lakers, not only did you accomplish that feat earlier this month, but last night you finished the deal and you won the World Series in what was a really entertaining game. That was a fun series. You know, postseason baseball is special. And the Rays fell to the LA Dodgers in Game 6 of the Best of 7 World Series. And check it out. The Dodgers have won the World Series. So you are celebrating a basketball championship, a baseball World Series win. You know, for those who I follow on Instagram who are LA natives, you know, I was up pretty late last night watching your very entertaining Instagram feeds because, you know, people were out in the streets celebrating. I saw one post in which fireworks were being set off in the middle of downtown Los Angeles. People were just out celebrating. Law enforcement was out there controlling things, of course. But what a moment for you guys. What a moment. And it's a shame that you know, we are in the year of a pandemic that is COVID-19, because, I mean, you would be celebrating two parades right now. So, and, you know, I don't want to get into the debate. You guys know how I feel about this. I mean, it's such an odd year, and we can debate, and we will be debating, you know, for years upon years upon years. When we look at the year 2020 and evaluate championships in professional sports, we will talk about how if it wasn't a pandemic year, would the Lakers and Dodgers win? Because it's just a different atmosphere. When you talk about adding the pressure of a lot of fans in a venue. And yes, we did see fans at the World Series, but there was a cap on it. Social distancing, mask wearing, that kind of thing. When it comes to the Lakers championship, there were no fans at all because the NBA conducted the postseason in the NBA bubble down in Orlando, Florida. Having fans there and having that pressure there and the travel, it does add another element that you have to overcome and defeat. But nonetheless, LA, you are a city of champions right now. All right, and I got some takeaways from last night's World Series game. Very, very, very fun to watch that one. All right. Also, college basketball is right around the corner. I believe it was last week. Yeah, it was last week in which we rolled in the press conferences of Michigan State men's and women's basketball head coaches Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant as they opened up official practice. And, you know, we still don't have a solidified schedule in college basketball right now due to COVID-19 and the NCAA still trying to figure out a lot of different things. But Michigan State basketball is practicing, and there are so many intriguing storylines for both Susie Merchant and Tom Izzo's teams. And today, I want to focus on Tom Izzo's team, and I want to roll in an interview from this week's media availability for Josh Langford. Josh Langford is one of the most beloved Spartan athletes, period. Not just basketball players, but Spartan athletes, period, due to the incredible journey that he has had wearing the green and white here in East Lansing, and just how amazing of a person he is. You know, his mindset in dealing with this. I mean, he is not ashamed to talk about his faith and how that has been the major contributing factor as to why he has the outlook that he has on his basketball career, despite injury after injury after injury. He is a remarkable young man, one of my favorite players that I have ever covered. And you'll get to hear from him in just a moment, as he now embarks on what will be his final year wearing a green and white jersey. He has been named as one of the captains for this upcoming MSU men's basketball season. You'll get a chance to hear from Josh Langford in just a moment. And also, I want to talk about a new acquisition for your Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions, who are right now, you don't get to say this often, so I'm going to say it as many times as possible this week. Your Detroit Lions, who are on a win streak. That's right, two straight wins for the Lions. They are still in statistical, you know, competition for the NFC North, I guess, right? I can say that right now, at least. And are definitely in the playoff hunt, with that being said, even though I know many Detroit Lions fans are looking at this, and this is a point I've hammered home these last few weeks. I mean, if you want to see the change leadership of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, I think that went out the window now. I think it just went out the window. With two straight wins now, and you guys, you know, still in the playoff conversation, I think Lions ownership, Sheila Ford, will look at this and say, well, that's good enough. We just want to compete. Bring them back for one more year at least. So I think that conversation is dead now. And hey, if you're a Lions fan, you got to be all in and just say, all right, let's try to win as many games as possible at this point. All right. I don't know. Maybe you're still feeling like, all right, if we still lose every game from here on out, we can still get rid of Matt Patricia and the Bob Quinn experiment, the failed experiment. But hey, but I want to talk about a new player that the Lions acquired from my Dallas Cowboys, actually. And what this says about the Lions being buyers as we approach the trade deadline, and just how big of an impact this move could have for the franchise. All right. And I'll also touch upon the Lions taking on the Indianapolis Colts, and I'll give you the odds on that game and whether or not I believe those odds are accurate. All right. So a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the show, you know how you can weigh in. You can pick up the phone, dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voice message there. I wonder if I have any LA sports fans who are listeners of Current Sports out there. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can weigh in by hopping on Twitter, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR. But hey, all you current sports fans out there, you know what's next. Here are your quick hit headliners. Okay, and I want to start here. A second team of prosecutors has concluded that criminal charges are not warranted against a former Michigan State University basketball player who was accused of sexual assault earlier this year. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel's office said it thoroughly reviewed the allegations against Brock Washington and didn't find grounds to bring charges. This is what AG spokesperson Ryan Jarvie said in an email, quote, following an in-depth review and consideration of the evidence, the Attorney General's office has decided not to file charges against Brock Washington, who was a Michigan State University student and athlete when he was accused of sexual misconduct. Now, Jarvie said prosecutors conducted a, quote, thorough evaluation of the circumstances, witness testimony, and other information, end quote, before declining to authorize charges. Now, Washington was accused of assaulting a woman in January in East Lansing during his junior year at MSU, according to a police report. Now, he was suspended from the team, if you remember, in late January, January 24th to be exact, for undisclosed reasons. But right now, AG says charges are not warranted for Brock Washington. All right, Terrell Pryor has been given probation after pleading to a lesser charge in connection to a November incident in which the former Ohio State QB was stabbed and hospitalized. Pryor, who is now 31 years old, he received 90 days probation in return for a guilty plea to a harassment charge in Pennsylvania court on Tuesday. A misdemeanor simple assault charge was dropped. Shalaya Briston, who allegedly stabbed Pryor, that's wild, received 2 years probation after pleading guilty to simple assault. Briston had faced charges of felony attempted homicide and aggravated assault. And get this, reportedly, Pryor and Briston still remain romantically involved. That's some strong, different love right there, right? Pryor was hospitalized in late November of last year after being stabbed in a dispute involving what Pittsburgh police described as mutual combatants. A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter at the time that Pryor was stabbed in the chest and shoulder and underwent surgery. So, mutual combatants. That's interesting. Okay. The Detroit Lions traded a conditional 2021 draft pick that could be as high as a fifth rounder to the Dallas Cowboys. That's right, my Dallas Cowboys, on Tuesday for defensive end Everson Griffin. Griffin was one of the NFL's most feared pass rushers in his prime, logging 74.5 sacks, including 16 against the Detroit Lions. I mean, when you look at Everson Griffin's stats and you go team by team by team and great success, Griffin, no doubt, had his best games against your Detroit Lions. He spent 10 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings, again, 16 sacks against the Detroit Lions when he was a member of the Minnesota Vikings. He had 2.5 sacks in 7 games with the Cowboys this year. Griffin will not be eligible to play this weekend when the Lions host the Indianapolis Colts. That's due to the NFL's COVID-19 protocols. Newly acquired players must pass 5 consecutive COVID tests, each 24 hours apart. That's before they are allowed to take part in team activities. Now, Griffin's first game with the Lions could come against his old team, the Vikings, come November 8th. Fitting, right? Okay, an arbitrator, and also more on that acquisition for the Detroit Lions later on this hour, so stick around there. An arbitrator settled on $3.5 million between Tyler Bertuzzi and the Detroit Red Wings. The sides presented their cases on Sunday, the Wings filing a brief at $3.15 mil and Bertuzzi's side at $4.25 mil. The sides ended up in arbitration after Bertuzzi took advantage of being a restricted free agent to force a solution. Bertuzzi has been a rising star in the organization for a number of years. He dates to the same draft as Anthony Mantha, when then GM Ken Holland traded first round spots with San Jose, picking up the Sharks' second round pick at 58th in the deal. So Bertuzzi, 1 year contract, $3.5 million. The Detroit Tigers announced yesterday that four players were waived by the organization: right-hander Dario Agrazel, outfielder Jorge Bonifacio, right-hander Derek Rodriguez, and left-hander Nick Ramirez. All four of them went unclaimed and cleared waivers, but Ramirez elected free agency. Arazel, Bonifacio, and Rodriguez were sent to AAA Toledo. The Tigers have trimmed their 40-man roster to 37 players in prep for offseason tasks, including picking prospects to protect from the Rule 5 draft. The offseason began last night after the World Series. And speaking of the World Series, after a Major League Baseball season unlike any other, the LA Dodgers are World Series champions, defeating the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1 in Game 6 last night to win the best of seven series, 4-2. LA has waited 32 years for this moment, and it came during a pandemic in front of a limited crowd, predominantly Dodgers fans at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. It also comes just over 2 weeks after the LA Lakers won the NBA championship for the first time in 10 years. The Dodgers haven't won the World Series since the 80s. And on Tuesday night, Major League Baseball, they couldn't escape coronavirus fears either. Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner, he was removed from Game 6 before it ended because he received a positive COVID-19 test. How wild was that? The on-field celebration took place with the Dodgers wearing masks, and at first you saw Turner removed from the game, and then afterwards, he comes back on the field, and, you know, some players are wearing masks, some aren't. There's no social distancing happening when it comes to Justin Turner and his teammates. And on one hand, you're sitting there saying, this is horrible. I mean, he's hugging other players who don't have masks on, knowing that he has COVID-19. And you're sitting there saying, what in the world is going on here? But on the other, you know, the human side, well, I shouldn't say the human side. The fan side of you is sitting there saying, look, you work all year for this. This is the first World Series for the Dodgers since 88. This is what you play the game to accomplish. Go ahead out there and celebrate. But no, you got COVID. That's not what you want to do. Yeah, a catch 22, without a doubt. It was bad optics. Bad optics for sure. All right. I'll get back to that in just a moment. Corey Seager, he achieved a rare October double, becoming most valuable player of the World Series after earning the honor for the National League Championship Series, just as Orel Hershiser did when the Dodgers won their previous World Series back in 88. The Rays, gotta feel for Tampa Bay a little bit here. They have played in two World Series, this season and back in 08, lost both times. Tough to be a Tampa Bay Rays fan right now. All right, more on the World Series in just a moment. And last but not least, big ups to Austin Thornton, who went from walk-on to a co-captain at Michigan State University for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. He has been named Sparta High School's new boys varsity basketball coach. Sparta made the announcement on Tuesday via Twitter regarding Thornton, who's a 32-year-old Sand Lake native who played at Cedar Springs before going on to star at Michigan State. He played at MSU from 08 to 2012. That's my years at Michigan State. and was a three-time Big Ten regular season champion. The 09 and 2010 teams advanced to the Final Four, and during his senior year in 2012, Thornton served as a co-captain alongside Draymond Green. He averaged 6 points, 3 boards his senior season and shot 49% from the field and 48% from three-point range. He later became a grad assistant at MSU from 2015 to 2017, in which he worked closely with Tom Izzo. Thornton was a four-year starter at Cedar Springs, helping the Redhawks win 3 conference and 4 district championships along with a regional title. He was an All-State player his senior season back in 07. All right, so that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, a lot to weigh in on today's current sports. Do I have any LA sports fans out there listening? The Dodgers win the World Series, and then earlier this month, the LA Lakers win the NBA Finals. I mean, pretty amazing time to be an LA sports fan. I'm going to talk about the Dodgers World Series win, how it happened last night. Also, the whole COVID-19 Justin Turner story afterwards, which was just so wild, still is so, so wild. And you get a chance to hear from Michigan State senior guard Josh Langford on his return to the hardwood and all of the hurdles that he has had to endure to get to this point. That and more, you are listening to the Hump Day Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. The LA Dodgers pulled off a World Series win last night, capping off the series and crowning themselves as champions of the baseball world. Pretty remarkable stuff, folks. I mean, it was always cool to see, you know, the celebration of a professional championship. You know, it's always cool to see that. And any championship, really, right? I mean, any championship celebration is always awesome to see, you know, the joy on the faces of athletes who have worked their entire season, and in many cases their entire lives, most of their lives, to accomplish a feat like that. I mean, it's always remarkable, and it always is very, very inspiring. And LA fans, they were out in the streets partying and celebrating, you know, round two, I guess you could say, right? Because they were just doing that a few weeks ago, earlier this month, when the LA Lakers were able to win the NBA Finals, beating the Miami Heat. And you know, the Tampa Bay Rays were defeated by the Dodgers last night. And it was such an amazing moment. And before I talk about the weird scene afterwards that involves COVID-19, I want to talk about I just have 3 takeaways from the Dodgers' win in Game 6 of that World Series to become World Series champions, all right? First of all, my favorite player in baseball. Even though I'm not the biggest baseball fan, regular listeners know that. I'm not a guy who's sitting up and in front of my TV during the baseball year and watching 3 hours of baseball. No, I just can't do that. I lock in a bit during the playoffs, and then, of course, I'm watching during the World Series. And a guy who's always entertaining, I love him, man. Mookie Betts. I mean, he was amazing. Simply amazing. And look, the Dodgers have him for another 12 years. He signed that crazy, crazy contract, over $300 million in his pocket. And look, he's living up to the hype. He really, really is living up to the hype right now. And you know what? His bat, I will say this, his bat was kind of quiet this World Series, but he chose the right time for it to come alive, didn't he? Look, after the Dodgers were pretty much hitless through the first 5 innings, and I'm gonna talk about that in just a moment as well, because when you look at this game, Blake Snell was awesome. And then we get into the whole conversation of pitch counts and how it's so overrated. You know, I always talk to seasoned baseball fans like my former boss at Channel 6, Fred Heumann, who always talked about how pitch counts are ridiculous. If a guy is hot and is dealing on the mound, skip the pitch count, especially when you talk about the World Series, the biggest stage of the game. Why pull him? Don't pull him. Your season is on the line. But anyway, you know, Blake Snell goes out. And in comes Nick Anderson, and yo, Mookie Betts came alive. I mean, it's like he tasted blood in the water. And you know, after a Austin Barnes single to put the tying run on base, there's that pitching change. Mookie Betts steps up to the plate on a 2-0 pitch. Betts scorched a 95-mile-per-hour fastball for a double. So now you got runners on third and second. A wild pitch scored Barnes, tying the game. Betts goes to third. World Series MVP Corey Seager stepped into the box, grounded one to first base, and as we've seen all postseason, one of the best base runners in all of baseball, Mookie Betts, his speed can win you games alone. And it did last night. Betts scored from third, sliding into home to beat the tag for the go-ahead run. That's what he does. That is what he does. And if that wasn't enough, he had enough time for one final hit as well. It ended up being a huge one. He hit a solo shot in the eighth to give the Dodgers, a two-run cushion. That put the finishing touches on it, and it was a beautiful one as well. And shout-out to Betts as well, rocking the Air Jordan 1s, my favorite sneaker in all of sneakerdom. he wore the baseball cleat Jordan 1s, smacked it, gone. That really sealed the deal, gives the Dodgers a two-run cushion. Put the babies to bed. Mookie Betts is just amazing and incredibly entertaining. And hopefully, you know what, when I watch Mookie Betts play, I got to say this as well. Because it's not like how it was back in the 60s, the 70s, even the 80s. When you had a lot of brothers, a lot of African Americans playing the game of baseball, which inspired other black kids to pick up a ball and a bat and a mitt and go out there and play the game of baseball. You don't see that now. You know, not a lot of blacks and not a lot of kids are playing the game of baseball. But hopefully, I'm hoping that looking at Mookie Betts and his imprint on the game today, I'm hoping that there were some kids watching that last night and saying, some black kids watching that last night and saying that, hey, I want to try the game of baseball. I want to play baseball because we need more blacks playing the game like we used to. All right. But that's a sidebar. Betts was amazing. Also, now I get to it. The Dodgers, I mean, Tampa Bay fans have to be so irritated today, have to be pulling out their hair because the Dodgers had no answer for Tampa Bay pitcher Blake Snell. Really, throughout this series, they had no answer for Snell. He looked untouchable in his first start, and he looked nearly untouchable last night. Entering the sixth, he had only one hit. He had only allowed one hit. Just one. That's it. And don't give me pitch count, because his pitch count was low. He was just about to reach 70. It looked like he was going to go at least eight innings for Tampa Bay. And then Barnes singled to give LA a base runner. And Rays manager Kevin Cash, he panicked. He panicked. That was the final hitter that Snell would see all season. He removed Snell from the game, threw in Nick Anderson, and that move obviously backfired. Come on, man. And the Dodgers ended up taking the lead. Simple as that. I just went through, you know, and gave you that sequence. I still can't believe, I was watching that thing, I still could not believe that Cash removed Snell from the game. And if you listen to the post-game presser as well, Snell, he didn't sound too thrilled about the move following the game. And can anybody blame him? Blake Snell discussing his reaction to being pulled in the sixth inning, quote, "For most of that game, I was dominating. I wanted to keep going." You think? And luckily for the Dodgers, he was pulled and they are now World Series champions. This is a perfect lesson how, ignore the pitch count, folks. This dude was dealing all game. Yeah, he gave up, a hit and, a man on first there. Stick with him. He had been having a brilliant game. Kevin Cash is going to regret that until his last days on earth, man. So, hey, shout out to the LA Dodgers. I do have to touch on this as well. The whole COVID situation that happened during the game and after the game. Oh, boy. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because you accomplish something that you work your entire career for, but it was irresponsible. Justin Turner being notified. First of all, how does that happen? Notified during the game? That can't happen. You should know before a game is played if you have COVID or not. Because Justin Turner was sitting there and infecting other players, other coaches throughout the entire game and probably leading up to it, depending on, when he first contracted it. You got to know before the game if your player has COVID-19 or not. But he's notified during the game. And the MLB had gone 57 days without a single player testing positive for COVID. But then it happens in game six, late in game six of the World Series. He was yanked from the game. The COVID-19 test taken by Turner on Monday had come back inconclusive. So the league asked its lab to expedite the results of the test taken by Turner on Tuesday. That came back positive. And the Dodgers were told to immediately remove Turner from the game and isolate him from others. So the Dodgers go on to win. Turner did not stay off the field. In the moments after that victory, he was seen celebrating, even, hugging his teammates, sometimes with a mask, sometimes without one. He was in the team photo, seated next to manager Dave Roberts. I mean, I think it was either his wife or his girlfriend. They're taking pictures with the World Series trophy. Oh, boy. And some argued that, look, seeing as though, Turner had already been around his teammates for virtually all of the game, was there any harm in a few more minutes after the game? Well, you already were around us. So, hey, we may be infected, we may not, but you were already around us. Come on, man. Come here. Give me a big hug. Irresponsible. It was reckless and irresponsible. Look, many people have made sacrifices and missed opportunities in light of this pandemic through no fault of their own. Is it too much to ask a professional athlete who is making millions upon millions of dollars to not celebrate on the field, to forego an on-field celebration? Is it too much to ask for that? So many people have made sacrifices in light of the coronavirus pandemic. And I get, you worked all your life for this moment. But that was reckless and irresponsible. And who knows how many other players he infected. I'm sure we'll have a report on that sometime later this week. With that being said, congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers. What a moment. All right, what I want to do right now is hit our final break. When we come back, you will hear from one of the most beloved Michigan State men's basketball players in recent memory. Joshua Langford spoke to us media members this week. Hear his thoughts on his comeback, finally being relatively healthy, and how excited he is entering this final year. That and more, you are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and right now I want you guys to listen in to Josh Langford's media availability this week, because Joshua Langford is one of the most beloved Michigan State men's basketball players in recent memory. You know, he is entering his final season. Final season under head coach Tom Izzo, playing for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And he is so beloved because, you know, he has gone through so much, so many injuries, so many hurdles, you know, sitting in a boot on the sidelines, questioning whether or not he should come back for this season. And he is such a man of faith. It's inspiring. He is an inspiring athlete. I know he's inspired me on numerous occasions, just sitting there talking to him and getting to know him. One of my favorite players ever to cover. And, you know, Tom Izzo is, what did he say? He said he's cautiously optimistic about Josh's return. You know, he's a player who was averaging 15 points per game, shooting better than 40% from three-point range to the first half of the 2018-19 season. That's before a stress reaction ended his season last year in November. Will we see that version of Langford this upcoming year? Or just something close to it? We don't know. We don't know. And right now, he's not the only player on the team who has scored more than 10 points per game during a season. But he is the team's only senior. So I want you guys to hear what Josh had to say this week. Here is Josh Langford on his return to the hardwood.
I feel great. I think right now for me, it's just, you know, getting back into that process of playing, you know, getting, allowing my mind to catch up with my body. My skill is there, but it's still some things that I have to, you know, get used to doing. And, you know, just getting caught up with the pace of the game and so many other things that I didn't necessarily think about before I actually got on the court. And, you know, the first practice, you can ask everybody. I was just kind of like, you know, a little bit of everywhere, but because I was so excited to be out there. But I think for me right now, it's just getting used to that process and just taking my time each day. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an adjustment. But the good thing about it was that, you know, a lot of the guys that I'm on the court with, I still – you know, had a relationship with him, you know, previously because of, you know, me still being a part of the team and me, you know, traveling with the team and me being at the game. So we still have that chemistry off the court, which helps it not be as bad on the court. You know, it makes it easier to adjust to because we have off the court chemistry. So it's been an adjustment, but at the same time, it hasn't been as bad.
Thank you.
Yep.
Go to Kyle Austin for the next one.
Hey, Josh, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about the point guard position there next year. Obviously, you guys have had Cassius there for so long, and it's a big change this year. How is kind of your team and your offense different now with new guys in that spot, and what have you seen out of Rocket and Parker so far?
Definitely lost a big piece with Cassius. Unbelievable player. But I think those guys, like you said, Foster and Rocket, you know, they've been doing a great job with, you know, getting adjusted to that position. And, you know, Foster has done a great job of leading, and, you know, Rocket has done a great job of running the team as well. So obviously, you know, it's different because Cassius isn't there anymore because he was a big part of our team. But, you know, at the same time, you know, those guys are ready for it. And, you know, I think our coaching staff, you know, they're doing a great job of getting them adjusted to that position.
Next two questions will be by Matt Charbonneau, followed by Andre Dahlgren.
Hey, Josh, I'm curious about the mental aspect of this. And you hear a lot of guys talk about who've had injuries when they come back, having that just that confidence in their mind of playing 100%, not worried about getting hurt again. And you've obviously had two surgeries. Is that in your mind at all, or are you able to kind of, at least at this point, block that out and not have that be an issue right now?
Yeah, I think early, you know, that was kind of in my mind, you know, when I first got back out there. But I think now, you know, falling down a little bit, getting bumped a little bit in practice, you know, taking a few fouls, those things kind of got me adjusted as well. And then, like I said, I trust, you know, first of all, I trust God. You know, I understand that he has me back for a reason and he wouldn't bring me this far to leave him. But also I trust, you know, the work I've done, you know, with our trainer, Nick Ritchie. You know, he's done a great job with me, you know, since the first time I had my first injury. He's been there, you know, since day one. And so, you know, we've been doing a great job of just getting in and making sure that I feel right, making sure that my body is, you know, where it needs to be, all different type of mobility, exercises, scraping, and all different kind of things that has helped me have confidence, you know, in my foot, and just not just in my foot, but in my body as well. So, you know, yeah, so early, you know, I kind of had that, you know, that reservation. But at the same time, you know, now I'm getting to the point to where I can just, I've moved past that, and now it's just time to play. I just have to get used to being out there again.
Did your teammates at all sense that too? Did they, like, take it easy on you, I guess? And was there a point where you had to say, you know, cut it out, play like you would normally, you know, not worry about it?
Well, I think it was a little bit of reservation there. But just me being me, I'm like, yo, let's play. You know, I'm out here. You know, I want you to play me like I'm out here. I'm supposed to be out here. So definitely was kind of some reservation from my teammates. But at the same time, with just kind of the way I play, I tried to just, you know, keep reminding them, hey, man, look, if I'm out here, you know, play me serious, because eventually I'm going to have to do it, you know, so.
Thanks, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Audrey? Joshua.
Hello, how you doing?
Obviously, it's a huge honor to be named captain, but for you, you know, this is the third time in your career at Michigan State. Only six other people or your players in the history of the program can say that. You give it at that magnitude. What does it mean to you from that standpoint? Because obviously being a captain isn't anything new, but think of it in the history of the program, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, you know, being a captain – just in general, not just being a captain 3 years in a row, just being a captain in general here at Michigan State, you know, it's an unbelievable, you know, feat. And I think especially to be a part of the fraternity of captains that have came before me. You know, you think about Mateen Cleaves, Magic Johnson, Travis Walden, you know, my best friend Tum Tum Nairn. So, you know, you think about all the captains that have came before me, and to be in that class is definitely – you know, something that I don't take lightly. But at the same time, you know, I'm just thankful that my teammates see me that way. And then, you know, on top of me, you know, being hurt 2 years in a row, and for me to be able to have this opportunity again for my teammates to see me as a leader, see me as a captain, you know, it's ultimately at the end of the day, that's just, you know, that's a sign of the grace of God. And, you know, I'm just thankful that I can be a part of the team. And, you know, I'm thankful that the guys see me as such.
Yep, we've time for a few more. We'll go to Paula from the State News and then Chris Solari.
Josh, obviously you've been watching these guys develop. Who would you say has made the biggest jump from last year to this year, and who have you been most impressed with this month?
I think everybody has made great strides. You don't necessarily want to single out one person because that diminishes everybody's, you know, work that they've put in the summer, or the little summer that we have had the opportunity to have. But I think one guy that's really, you know, that has really been doing well is, I think, Gabe Brown. He's been as consistent, you know, as can be, you know, in terms of his defense, his shooting. And I think he may have grown a little bit, but I'm not necessarily sure. But I think, you know, Gabe has, you know, he's been great for us. He's been really consistent. So, You know, and I look at a player who's made some great strides, I would say him, not diminishing everybody else's progression as well.
Thanks, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Valori?
You just talked about the special nature of being a captain. When you look at Foster, some of the things that he's gone through in the last couple of years and just how he handled the situation with Cassius last year, what makes him a fit for you guys as a captain, and what leadership qualities does he bring?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at how he handled the whole situation with not necessarily playing as much, you know, that's a sign of selflessness. And I think as a captain, you have to have that. You know, you have to be able to put the team first. You have to be able to put yourself second. In order to be a captain, you have to understand how to be a servant leader. And I think that's something that Foster embodies. And, you know, even though he wasn't necessarily playing as much, you know, the past few years, he never was not involved. He was always communicating with the team. He was always, you know, talking to the team about certain things that he's seen. You know, so he was a leader when he came here. It's just now it's time that people are actually seeing it. You know, he's been elected to be a captain. And so, you know, it's not nothing that I'm surprised about. I'm actually happy for him. And, you know, I'm excited that, you know, I get to be in the trio with him as a captain. So I'm definitely proud of him. And, you know, I'm just thankful that he has the opportunity. And I know he's going to do a great job.
And last two, we'll go to Stephen Brooks and then Bradley Quinn.
Just curious about anything, if at all, that you learned going through this sort of a second time in terms of working your way back and getting ready for a season. Second time around, any lessons or takeaways that you gathered that you think got you in a better position this time?
I think the biggest thing I've learned is just trusting the process. I probably could tell you a bunch of different things that I learned, and we'll be here all day. But the biggest thing I learned is, you know, just trusting the process and realizing that everybody has their own journey. And how you own that journey determines how well you are successful in the thing that you're doing. And so for me, I've been really learning the importance of trusting the process and just being able to be patient and have wisdom with the process, because sometimes it's certain things that I do on the court and I'm like, man, you know, I could do that 2 years ago, you know. And now it's like, well, I have to remind myself of, Josh, you haven't played in 2 years. You know, the last time you practiced was a year and a half ago. So, you know, all those things are going to come, you know, in timing. And so I think for me, the biggest thing I've learned, the biggest life lesson that I can take, you know, outside of basketball, is realizing that everything takes time. Everything is beautiful in its own time. You just have to trust the process. And so if that's one thing that I could say that I've learned out of the many things, it would be that.
All right, folks, Josh Langford. Isn't he a remarkable young man? I just love listening to him talk. Love listening to him talk about his faith. And just so much resiliency and character in that young man. All right, I guess on tomorrow's Current Sports, you can tell I'm so disappointed when I say this. Oh, I wanted to talk Lions today. So disappointing. We'll talk Detroit Lions tomorrow, as the Lions, they were gifted a lineman from my Dallas Cowboys in Everson Griffin. Defensive end Everson Griffin, who caused much ruckus in the Lions backfield when he was a member of the Minnesota Vikings. But I'll talk about what that acquisition means for the Lions as we approach the NFL trade deadline, and also we'll touch upon the Lions taking on the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. All right, but until then, we are on a 23-hour break. It is a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday here in mid-Michigan. Enjoy it. Go for a walk. Walk the dog. Just get out for at least, you know, two seconds. Wear a mask. Mask up, of course, but get out and about a little bit if you can. We'll see you on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be smart. Be safe. And as always, be easy, people.